What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 265 on this Monday, April 20th, 2026. Josh Callaway, Tom Green with you on a Monday. Spring ball in the books for the most part. They technically still have a couple practices left, but for all intents and purposes, in the books. But the spring game on Saturday, we're going to put a bow on it today. What did we learn about Oklahoma in the last month? What do we still not know? What are we still unsure about? We'll discuss on the show today. And as we usually do on Mondays, we'll hit some other sports. Hoops Portal is off and running. Oklahoma made a couple additions there. They've gotten some key guys back. We'll talk about that. And of course, we'll recap the weekends that were for the Diamond Sports. Good weekend series wins for both OU softball and OU baseball. We'll dive into those as well on the show today. A reminder, though, before we get started, subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60, all one word. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 247 Sports Network. Spring ball is in the books, but we're just, you know, you get into summer, recruiting picks up, it'd be fall camp before you know it, the new season. Also, we have VIP content every single day, so be sure to jump in, be with us over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, let's get into it. Tom, we had the spring game on Saturday. Obviously, Colin and I did the instant reaction show from the field where we kind of dove into the game and broke up everything that, you know, there really was to take away. So obviously we'll go, you can dive into the game itself if you'd like, but more macro than that is, you know, just the spring at large. Just I'll throw it out there to you. What'd you learn? I mean, where are you kind of at with this team after a month? What was, you know, kind of the question going in that, you know, you got answered, maybe you didn't get answered? What were maybe the one or two things in the last month that stand out to you as the biggest things that, you know, you're taking away out of this as spring camp, you know, finishes up this week?
I think my biggest takeaway is that there is good reason for optimism about the run game.
Yes.
You know, that was the big focal point for them throughout the spring. It was the big talking point. You know, you remember that day we spoke to Hayden Hansen, and he's just like, I got news for you guys. It's here. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to see. And we saw glimpses of it in that spring game.
Yeah, they ran the ball.
Especially the red team offense. And look, everything needs to be taken with a grain of salt because they're going against the, you know, the reserves on defense. Yeah. They're keeping everything vanilla. You know, while we did see a lot of, you know, 12 personnel, two tight end sets out there, you know, they didn't do any under center work, which my understanding is they've done that this spring on the practice field, and I'd expect to see that in the fall. But we didn't see any of that on Saturday. But still, I think you have to like what you saw from that offensive line in terms of creating some holes, the tight ends in terms of how they set the edge, and from how the running backs ran, even without the guys that you expected to be your two top running backs coming into the spring and Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock. You know, Lloyd Avant had some really nice runs, like the way that he runs. You know, Jonathan Haddon got in there on the second drive and, you know, rotated in. And I was really impressed with what we saw from Devin Walker.
Yeah, who was probably the MVP of the game.
Probably him, or I don't even know who else might have been. You know, Mackenzie Aline obviously had a touchdown. Rogers. Jasir Rogers had he was probably the MVP of the white team. You know, Isaiah Satania might have been there if they didn't call back his long touchdown.
Whatever reason.
But but Devin Walker was really impressive. And I think one of the things that, you know, kind of stood out to me the most after the fact was, you know, I asked Ben Arbuckle about just how valuable it is having that continuity on the offensive line, you know, bringing, you know, four guys back that you expect to start, and, you know, having a Marion Harrison there.
Sure.
And I think he was talking about Michael Fasusi. After he didn't say which running back it was, but it was after like a longer run where the running back kind of cut it back, and got a nice chunk gain. And Fasusi just went up to the running back after the play and was like, "Hey, nice run, but we had your hole open, man. Like trust us, we got you."
Sure.
And I think that says something about where this offensive line is, and just also the ability for the running backs to create some of that chunk yardage that, you know, we didn't see a lot last season. And we heard Brent Venables after the game say that, you know, he told the Touchdown Club earlier that morning that this spring they've had more explosive runs than the last three springs combined. And we know how much they struggled in those, you know, long run plays last season. You know, I think they're certainly down in the 100s. I think they only had like 48 runs of 10 plus yards throughout the season. So there's a lot left on the bone there for them to, you know, take into this season. Yeah. And I think they made a concerted effort this spring to make the requisite steps to get there.
Yeah, I agree with that totally, 100%. And that would really be probably my biggest takeaway, even spreading it out just further than just even like the run game or whatever, is just kind of in general, I don't know how much better it's going to be. Or I'm not here to say they're going to be a top 20 offense this season, but I see no way that it's not a lot better. That's really my main thing coming out of the spring, is they clearly have massively upgraded at tight end. It's very obvious. And you saw that Hayden Hansen, Rocky Pierce both made plays on Saturday. I feel like the running back depth is a lot better. The offensive line is only going to be improved from a year ago. When you talk about these guys getting older, Damarian Harris comes in. Wide receiver room, I tend to think, is in a better place than it was last year. I mean, you have Isaiah Satania back, plus the guys you added. And then I think I do believe John Mateer is going to take a step. He looked very good on Saturday. I think he's very comfortable. I feel like he's making the requisite changes. Hopefully he's more healthy. So I don't know. You know, again, I'm not here to say it's going to be a top 20 offense. I'm not here to say that John Mateer is going to New York. But I see no possible way that this Oklahoma offense is not quite a bit better, frankly, in 2026 than it was in 2025. Now, again, that could be a cold take if we get to November and it looks the same, where, you know, like, that's the best way I could put it, is the Missouri and LSU games last year, where it was like, my God, if the offense could just give them something, they'll win this game. I don't envision that being the case again. Again, not to say this offense is going to light it up and score 40 points every week in the SEC, but it just feels like the roster's better. Mateer's going to be better. I just don't see anywhere where the offense isn't vastly improved this season. You felt that way going into the spring, and certainly nothing happened this month pushed me away from that. If anything, it strengthened it, actually getting to see it in practice and talk to these guys about it, and obviously see it in the spring game as well. So that's really probably my biggest thing coming out of this.
I would add one caveat to that.
Sure.
And I mean, you could say this any season about any team, but it is very dependent on the health of that offensive line.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, we heard Brent Venables afterwards say, you know, they feel like they have seven guys they can really trust right now. You know, you'd like to get a couple more, you know, whether that's, you know, freshmen like Deacon Schmidt or Noah Best kind of continuing their development. But that first five or six that you have, and I'm saying six because, mm-hmm. you know, we saw Hito Zaida and Ryan Foje rotate in that right guard spot. We saw Ryan Foje, you know, get in at right tackle some behind Damarian Harris. So I think you have six guys that you feel incredible about. Like, sure. This is going to be the first time in years that Oklahoma, you know, goes into fall camp pretty much knowing what its offensive line is going to look like in terms of the starting group. There's just not as much developed depth there right now. And I think we saw that with, you know, kind of how the white team offense did not produce really. A lot of it is going to depend on just how healthy that offensive line can stay. You know, you can afford one injury there, like something minor, but if you lose, you know, multiple guys for extended time, you're going to be mm-hmm. in trouble, I think. But I agree with you absolutely. Like, this offense should be much better and just more consistent, really, than it was last year.
Yeah, agree totally. On the other side, defensively, you know, I come out of spring feeling pretty good. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be as good. I think that there's a very good chance it will be, that they won't miss a beat defensively. But I think there's still some questions there just on the overall depth of it. And Brent Venables talked about that. Just, is the depth going to be as good as it was last year? I think some guys had some really good springs. I will say, and this may sound kind of like a negative, and it kind of is, kind of isn't, really good they got Owen Heinicke back. Because, you know, if they didn't have Owen Heinicke back and you lose Taylor Heim, you know, not that I'd be sitting here smashing the panic button necessarily, but the flexibility with having Heinicke is a lot better. And we talked about that on the Instant Reaction Show that the two of us and Colin did last week. Having Heinicke back, it opens you up to maybe throw some Colt Sullivan at Cheetah and to, you know, play around, get all three guys with Kip Lewis out there. It takes a lot of the weight off of James Nesta. Like, it feels a lot better having him back in the fold. And so that certainly helps. You know, safety depth is going to be a bit of a question. I thought some guys, I mean, like Omarion Robinson had a great camp, and there's some other dudes that there's reason to be excited about, but it's a very, you know, unproven position after that top group, which is fantastic. And so defensively, I mean, don't get me wrong, I feel very good. I think they're going to be a very good defense. Will it be as good as it was last year? Are they as deep as last year? They could be, but as of now, I don't know. I guess is really the best way I could put it defensively. They're going to be a good defense, don't get me wrong. But, you know, will it be as deep, especially like along the defensive line? You know, these are fair questions, I think, that still will remain and probably will remain, frankly, until we get into the games when we get in September. That's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I think the defensive line depth is there. I still don't know if it's going to be as good as it was last year just because, you know, replacing an Mason Thomas.
So good.
And a Grayson Hall and then a Dominic Williams. That's really difficult to do. But, like, what you saw from Danny Okoye throughout the spring and certainly on Saturday really opened some eyes. I think Nigel Smith and Trent Wilson, just their development come through. And we should know, like, they were without, what, five defensive linemen on Saturday? Four of which were on the red team roster, so like guys that are firmly in the two deep, you know, whether that's, you know, Davis Stone, Jaden Jackson, obviously they've, you know, been out throughout the spring, but Bishop Thomas and Kenny Azuawu, two transfers that you really are going to be leaning on for depth there along the defensive line, they were both out too, and Wyatt Gilmore on the other side, a guy that, you know, might provide some depth off the edge.
PJ, and
PJ Adewore. But no, I agree with you. Like, getting Owen Heineke back is just so important. I think that was kind of underscored on Saturday as well. I will pat myself on the back a little bit because I did call him coming out to many men. Didn't happen at halftime or anything, but it did happen right after the team came out.
All time.
You know, him and BV kind of came out there by himself. He got a nice pop. You know, Kip gave him a huge hug, and you know, fans were clearly excited about, you know, him just being out there in pads, even though he was not you know, available to play to participate in the spring game or anything like that. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, I think there is some good depth at spots on the defense, but I'm not sure it's going to be as deep as it was last year, even though I do think the top line in some spots will be improved. Like, I think that, you know, for as good as Robert Spears Jennings was last year, I think a fully formed Michael Boganowski could be a little bit of an upgrade there. So we'll see. And again, we talked about the flexibility at the linebackers now with Owen Heineke back. Like, you can play Cole Sullivan at Cheetah. You can play him at the will spot and, you know, give Kip some reprieve there too. But just like having a guy like Owen who has a very you know, deep, intimate knowledge of that defense and just how to, you know, run things with that green dot, I think is huge.
Yeah, it just, you know, and again, it, you know, we talked about it throughout the process, but just kind of after the dust has settled on it and you really start to look at it, it's like, man, it really is pretty big to have this guy. Just the weight it takes off so many other guys, not just the linebacker room, but kind of just the defense in general is really big. And Danny Okoye talked about that post game on Saturday. Just, you know, the leadership part of it. I mean, obviously, he's a good player. The green dot stuff, like you said, it just, Daddy's home. That's right. It's quite significant that they got him back. I feel a lot better about the defense knowing that he'll be there. You know, when it's all said and done. So
I will say with the cornerbacks, like, we know who the, you know, who really those top three are with Cortland and, and Eli and Jacoby. But I was impressed with some of the play that we saw from Tristan Haynes and Prince Ijeoma.
I agree
with that white team going against the starters on offense. I thought they both made some really good plays, and I think that's, you know, promising sign, because you can never have too many, you know, reliable defensive backs that you can just throw in there for different packages.
For sure. No, I especially talked about it a little bit with Colin on Saturday and his reaction. Tristan Haynes, I'm with you there. Like, he had seven tackles, and it felt like it watching the game. Also, you don't have the benefit of, like, stats as it was going on, but it felt like, I feel like Tristan Haynes is in on a lot of plays. And then you get the numbers back, and he was. You know, he was tied for the team high in tackles on Saturday. So, you know, like you said, good, some young talent in that room. You throw in like a Dakota Fields, obviously. There's some dudes back there after that top three, which you feel really good about with, you know, Bowen Guillory and Jacoby Johnson. So a lot to be excited about. I mean, it was a good spring for Oklahoma. Knock on wood, because they still have two practices left. You got out of it pretty healthy. I mean, Taylor Heim has the injury, which, you know, is a tough deal, obviously. But, you know, they were very cautious. We talked about that throughout, where they kept guys back. It, you know, I don't feel like outside of Taylor Heim that you had anyone have anything, at least to this point on Monday, April 20th, that would affect the season, which is nice, because last year, we couldn't say that last year. Last year it was Javonte Gibson. I mean, there was stuff last year. And so, you know, pretty successful spring, I would say, overall for Oklahoma. So we'll obviously head on into the summer now, and we'll be, you know, have the nice thing is that we have the Sooner Caravan thing coming up. So we'll talk to Brent again in the month of May, which we didn't get last year. And so we'll be able to Jim Nagy. So we'll be able to kind of pop in team a little bit more in the spring and summer than normal, hopefully. But then obviously we'll have media days coming up later this summer and fall camp we hear for, you know, and obviously we aren't going anywhere. We'll have the show and we'll update anything there is to update throughout the summer as we look ahead to media days and fall camp, but good spring for Oklahoma.
Yeah. I will say a couple other like quick takeaways that I had coming out of the game. I think going into the summer, like Whit Neubauer is leading for that QB2 spot right now. Very rough day for Bo Bentley. Obviously going against the first team defense, he was 5 of 13 for 35 yards, two interceptions and got sacked. Sacked, so to speak, because the quarterbacks weren't live. But, you know, Ben Arbuckle and John Mathier both talked about, like, it's going to be a good learning experience for him going up against that kind of defense in that setting. And when they go back and watch the tape, there will be some good things to take away. It wasn't all bad. But, you know, Whit Neubauer looked, you know, firmly in control of what he was asked to do when he was out there. You know, I think it was, 7 of 9 for, 70 yards. Mm-hmm. Had a couple good plays. Certainly that 37-yarder, I think it was, to Jasir Rogers on the second
throw. Drive
of the day. Good throw, good catch by Jasir Rogers, which, you know, brings me to my other takeaway is that I think they've got some good depth at wide receiver. Now, how many guys will play is still the question.
I know.
Because they didn't rotate a lot of guys last year. But I think, when everybody's healthy, you still assume that Isaiah Satania, Trell Harris, and Parker Livingston will be your top three. But what we saw from guys like Mackenzie Aline throughout the spring, Manny Choice, some more good plays, you know, had a 25-yarder, I want to say, from the tier. Down the right sideline. And then Jasir Rogers, a freshman that came along and made some really nice plays there too. So I think you have a little bit more depth there, but we'll see what that rotation looks like just because – you know, historically, Ben Arbuckle's offenses have not rotated a lot of receivers, but I also don't know if they've had the requisite depth to be able to do so at the level that they want. So I'm curious to see how that shakes out, but definitely think that they have some guys behind them there.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. I mean, John Mathier, when you talk about, again, going back to the tight end room and then the depth of the receiver, I mean, it feels like he's got a lot more weapons to work with this year than he did last year, where at times it felt like it was Isaiah Satania and that's it. I mean, Jaren Kanick had a great start to the year. Deion Burks had his moments, but for the most part, it was Satania or bust a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. In the past game, shouldn't be that way this year. Shouldn't. We'll see how it plays out, but it shouldn't be that way. So good spring for Oklahoma, and obviously we're not going anywhere. We'll continue to break this team down more and more over the course of the summer.
The Sooners Illustrated Podcast will be back after this short break.
Let's get into some other sports, obviously, on the show today. Let's talk about hoops a little bit. The portal off and running. You know, we kind of teased it last Monday where it felt like they were about to get an addition, and they actually did, in the gap between recorded and then when that show actually posted last Monday with Connie Ruths from Louisville. It was kind of a big wing type of guy. And then they added Tyler Hendricks, who's a guard from Utah Valley. I believe it was at UCF before.
UCF, first 2 years, yeah.
So they've made a couple of additions. Obviously, you still have a lot of roster spots open. They've gotten some key guys back. We'll talk about that more in a second. But, Tom, as far as these two additions, Connie Roos from Louisville, Tyler Hendricks from Utah Valley by way of UCF, or thoughts of what they've done here with these first couple of pickups? Obviously, more to do, but it feels like you can kind of pretty clearly see what the idea is with both these guys.
Yeah.
Where are you at with these first two pickups or OU in the portal as they start to fill out this roster a little bit going into what's obviously going to be a make or break year for Porter Moser? I don't see any way otherwise.
Yeah. I think they're solid pickups overall. Now, Oklahoma has not made the big splash yet, like we saw with last season's portal class, you know, when they were able to get three or four guys that were in the top 60-ish. You look at Connie Ruths, former four-star guy who's at Louisville. I think he's the number 115 player in the portal right now. 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds per game. But he gives you something that you've not had at that power forward, that forward spot, whether he's playing a little bit more on the wing or more at the four. But he's 6'10", has good size. And you kind of see the vision there for, you know, you need to get bigger. Like we talked about it before, you look at the Final Four, you look at Michigan, you look at Illinois, you look at UConn, and you just see the size that these teams have. And Oklahoma has not had that in the front court, really. So I think they got a, you know, starting caliber player to slot in, you know, at that four where Darion can play the three. And then Tyler Hendricks, you know, he kind of fills that Jadon Jones role, I think, for them.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. He, you know, last year was his best season of his career, you know, about 12 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists, but he's a 6'6" guard, you know, can play the two or the three. And most importantly, he gives you shooting off the bench. Shot 44.8% from beyond the arc last season. Just to put that in perspective, Nigel Pack shot 44.7%. He wasn't as prolific as a shooter as Nigel Pack, you know, but he still attempted about 5 3-pointers a game. Just really solid numbers from beyond the arc there. So I think you fill two needs there, because we've discussed it off the show, but, as well, but just they need some shooting on that team. So I like the pickups, but I need to see more.
Yes.
And, you know, like we'll get into the guys that they've been able to retain so far. But like they need to make a splash. They need some guys that are going to, you know, kind of elevate this roster. And, you know, they hosted one of them over the weekend. And he's a guy that, you know, a lot of people in the state are familiar with, Tylan Riley, guard from Tulsa, who started his career at Cal Baptist, but, you know, really broke out at Tulsa last year, 15 points a game. Just a really good attacking guard who can stress defenses and, you know, kind of play off of Xavier Brown. If they can get him, I think that is a move that, you know, kind of elevates this roster a little bit. So I'm curious to see, but they have a lot of work still left to do. I think they have, what, 7 roster spots left open?
7,
Now you're not going to fill all those guys with starting caliber guys, but you need another, you know, good sized guard to pair alongside Xavier Brown. You need a center. You need a guy that, you know, can probably slot in as a starter at center and make an impact, and a consistent impact. Because Mo Wagee last year, you know, when he was on, he was on. But he wasn't always on. He was struggling with foul trouble. It's difficult. But, and, you know, centers are at a premium. We've seen that. You know, they require a big price tag to get a difference maker. And a lot of the top guys have already moved off the board. But I think there's still some quality guys out there to be found.
Yeah, no, I'm on the exact same wavelength of I get both of these pickups. I see what the vision is. Donnie Roos, like you said, you got to get bigger. He feels kind of like he feels Jalen Morey, like that kind of role, but even bigger. I mean, at 6'10", if that's a true listing, you know, I like that pickup. Same thing for Tyler Hendricks. He feels like you nailed it with Jadon Jones, kind of Latrade Darthur-y type of role off the bench, a little bit of shooting. I'd be lying if I said I knew what he was like as a defender. Hopefully he's a solid one for that kind of 3-and-D type of role off the bench. But I'm with you. Like, you need more, right? I mean, it's still early, and they're going to do more. But obviously, when you compare it to last year, and this is obviously a team that fell short of expectations last year, didn't make the tournament. Look what they did in the portal last year. That had us at this time of year going, whoa, when they went and got a Nigel Pack, and then obviously Tay Davis and Xavier Brown, and is like, and eventually Darian Reed, obviously. It was like, that was quite a portal haul. Now, again, that group ended up not achieving what they hoped for, which was certainly to get back to the tournament at least. And so you compare that to this year, and again, it's early, but you know, you kind of need more. I think if you're an OU fan is getting a little antsy, like, you know, what's this team going to look like right now? I think that's more than fair, but there is still time, and they're going to make more additions. And so, you know, I'm not panicking, but you're also 100%, like you said it best, just like you need more. You got to do more, and you need at least one or two more starter level players. And so we'll see if they can do that. Still early, portal still technically open for a little bit more. And we'll see what else they can do. You got to get it big. I mean, that's a no doubt. And so we'll see where they go from here. But, you know, a couple of nice additions that, again, you can see why – you can see the vision. But can they put more around those guys? That's going to be the question moving forward into the portal, which ties into the fact that they have gotten some key guys back. We've talked about with Porter you know, throughout his tenure, right? Retention has not been very good, frankly. They've had to start over from scratch a lot. So far, it looks pretty good here. They did get Xavier Brown and Kyle Rogers both back officially. I don't think we talked about Xavier Brown. I think that might have happened after.
That happened after we recorded last week, yeah. Okay.
So I made sure to note that. And just yesterday, or was it Saturday, they announced Kyle Rogers is back as well, which is huge. That was a big question mark just because, I mean, his freshman year didn't really go to plan. But I talked about it when we talked about Koala Talk. Like, you don't want to have to replace all three bigs in one offseason. So they get Kai back. You have to just take a chance. He's going to take a step forward. I'm all in on that. Xavier Brown, that was a must-have as well. As of now, Darian Reed and Dayton Forsythe, nothing officially. But, again, the portal, it is still open, but it's winding down. Would you say tomorrow?
I think the end of day tomorrow. If I'm not
mistaken. So they got, like, 36 hours, roughly, still to get in there if they want. But obviously, no news is good news on this front. So as of now, you have the quartet that you needed to get back. You have it, at least two of these guys officially, and we'll see what happens with Reed and Forsythe. Obviously, Darian Reed is a must-have. We'll see what happens there. But as of now, you know, again, no news is good news. Retention, Tom, I mean, pretty good. I mean, you had to, right? I mean, we talked about the end of the season. Like, you had to find a way to get these guys back, and so far, so good. Hopefully, it goes well with Dayton and Darian, but – to get Xavier and Kai back were both must-haves and two big gets. You know, not portal additions, if you will, but big gets, obviously. Big wins for them to get these guys back.
Yes, especially Xavier. You know, this is the second time that during Porter Moser's tenure that he's retained his starting point guard. The first was when, obviously, Milo Suzan, you know, as a freshman in his sophomore year, he started most of the games as a freshman. But this is different because Xavier Brown is a veteran. Like, he's a dude that's been starting for multiple years. You know, I think that if I have the stat correct, it's the first time that Oklahoma has been able to retain a guy who averaged at least 15 a game. Which is solid. He started at point guard all 37 games last year. You know, they probably got more out of him, you know, statistically than they maybe anticipated when he came in from St. Joseph's. So huge to keep him. Like I said, you got to find another dynamic guard to pair him with.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, we talked about it with Kai Rogers. Like, he didn't have the freshman season that a lot of us and
people
in general anticipated. But he showed you some things in the crown. Those last two games, you know, his two best games of the season, and still in kind of a limited role off the bench. But if you're able to bring in a quality big that you can start and pair him with Kai Rogers in that rotation, like, if you're asking Kai Rogers to play, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night, and he's giving you, what, 8 and 6 off the bench, you'll take that as he just continues to develop. But, you know, you can't teach size. And there's a reason that Kai Rogers was a, you know, 4-star, I think top 75 prospect coming out of high school. It's like, there is the talent there that just needs to be developed. And the hope for Oklahoma is that being able to retain him and, you know, get him in the system for another year, he feels more comfortable. And I think, you know, even though his playing time was, you know, very sporadic, especially in SEC play, we saw growth in him from the start of the season to the end of the season. Like, he looked a lot more like he belonged out there when he, you know, came off the bench from the ground. Like, there were times I remember early in the season, he just looked like he didn't know what he was doing. Looked kind of lost defensively and offensively at times. So, you know, the hope is that he can take another step in his development, and you can, again, pair him with another, you know, quality big man to give a strong rotation there at the five.
Yeah, I mean, with Kai for Oklahoma, you absolutely have to bank on that he's going to get better and take a step this year. Like, there was no way you could punt on, you know, this guy already. Like, he's too much, you know, the size and the upside. He was a true freshman last year, right? I mean, you just had to take the chance, or if you will, that he will just improve. We were in total agreement on that. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do. It's probably, you know, frankly, a good sign that he's even willing to come back because, you know, a lot of guys, I mean, just putting it frankly, I mean, pretty highly touted high school kid comes in and doesn't really play a lot as a true freshman. And, you know, kind of his minutes, you know, in SEC play didn't really, you know, see the floor much at all. And they brought in another big midseason in Kirill Eletonsev, it kind of just nuked your play time. Like, they would have been kind of easy for him to be like, I'm out of here. And so the fact that he's signing on to come back and do it again is at least a good sign that he's, you know, bought into to Porter and his staff and is like willing to put in the work to get better. At least it would seem, right? So that's encouraging. And then Xavier Brown, yeah, I mean, we're no brainer, had to get him back. And I would hope, and I think if you're an OU fan, what you hope is, and Xavier had a good year, but going through the SEC once, he'll have a much better idea of like what he needs to improve on, and he'll just have a better idea of what it's. I mean, it's a big jump going from the A-10 to the SEC. I mean, it's a different world. So he'll have a much better idea of what he's getting into this time around. And again, he had a good year anyway, but you would imagine he'll be quite a bit better this year as well. So
yeah, I would think that he could be in the mix for like all SEC honors, you know, as a second year starting guard in the league, if he can build off what he did this year. And I just want to say on the Kai Rogers note, I know that announcement on Saturday eased a lot of people's minds, because, you know, I know some fans were concerned when Jake Hansen, who, you know, played high school ball with Kai Rogers up in Wisconsin,
right,
hit the portal, and they're like, oh, like what does this mean for Kai? Like, is he gonna be up, you know, on his way out too, because his high school teammates out the door. So to be able to keep him again, really, really big, good job for Oklahoma there on the retention front with, you know, new GM Lucas McKay kind of leading the way.
For sure. And we'll see. Obviously, again, no news is good news on Darian Reed and Dayton Forsyth. Portal's still open. We'll see. Obviously, when we do the show next week, we'll know one way or another if those guys are definitely back or not. Hopefully, for Oklahoma's sake, they are, especially Darian Reed. That's no disrespect to Dayton. Obviously, he's a very solid bench player. You want him back. But between the two, obviously, Darian is a must. It's a must. We'll update that. And obviously, stay with us over at Sooners Illustrated on the website. We'll update you as we get more details on those two guys. Let's do a little bit of diamond on the way out. Let's go to softball first. Tom, big series win for Oklahoma, beating Arkansas at home. This was a top 10 matchup. Arkansas was game for this. You know, Friday's game was competitive, and then they actually beat them on Saturday. But Oklahoma circled back, run rule win on Sunday to win the series. When Arkansas won on Saturday, that was actually 3 out of 4 losses for Oklahoma, which is shocking. It does not ever happen. That was good teams, Texas, Oklahoma State, in the Bedlam game on Wednesday, and then Arkansas. Obviously, these are all really good programs that could very easily be in Oklahoma City at the end of the year. But it's still shocking. I mean, just not something you see them do very often. But they circle back, and they run rule yesterday. They do win the series at home. Where are you at with this team? I mean, obviously, I know you were busy with spring game and stuff, but you were still covering these games and dialed in for us as Sooners Illustrated. You know, coming out of this weekend, also they win the series and they run ruled yesterday. I guess the obvious and kind of dumb way to ask you is, do you feel better about this team after this weekend, or are you, or this week, I guess, if I want to back up to Bedlam, or are you kind of maybe more questions? They did split the 4 games this week against Oklahoma State and Arkansas. Where are you kind of at, a little temperature check with Oklahoma right now as they're getting down in the nitty gritty of the season here? We're kind of on the home stretch now.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is still one of, if not the best team in the country right now.
Yeah.
Obviously a little bit of a lull here, this week. I think it's hard to kind of sustain emotionally what it takes to like go down to your rival in Austin and you know, take 2 or 3 in that series and then, you know, respond quickly for a midweek game against another in-state rival and then to turn it around into a, you know, top 6 series at home. You know, it takes a lot. And look, they've got some hitters struggling. You know, certainly Cassidy Pickering's had a tough go of it the last, you know, couple weeks. And you know, Saturday was a difficult game for them. They, you know, they made some good contact throughout the lineup, but still just 2 runs on 4 hits. Both of those were, you know, tied for the second fewest in each category for them in a game this season. And you know, I think that loss on Saturday was a little bit of a wake up call. And we saw that kind of play out on Sunday with the way they handled their business. You know, I do want to mention, first of all, you know, Kendall Wells tied Jocelyn Alo
just keeps going.
Yeah. 34 home runs in a season. Still got 7 regular season games left plus the postseason. I think it's safe to say some records will fall. She's within 3 of tying the NCAA single season mark held by Laura Espinoza. So, you know, we'll see what she does. But, you know, they hit 4 home runs yesterday. The bats came alive. You know, Kendall Wells had a three-run home run. Gabby Garcia had a three-run home run. Isabella Emmering hit her third home run in as many games. You know, her career season has just, you know, continued to. I know Kendall Wells gets a lot of attention, but they've got some big bats in this lineup that have delivered when they've needed. But they just need to be a little bit more consistent in their approach right now, I think. And we saw that a little bit more in Sunday's game, but it was just a tough little run of things the last few games before that. And, you know, I think, you know, pitching is still a question. You're still confident with Audrey Lowry as your first, even though, you know, she struggled a little bit in that start Friday, and, you know, especially coming off, you know, giving up the two or giving up the winning runs against Oklahoma State, I think it was. Or was it Oklahoma State that she did that? Or was that? No, that was the Texas finale, I believe, that she came in and gave up the extra inning hits, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry, it's been a long week.
No, they're board Texas together. Only extra innings game.
Yeah, but you know, I think Sydney Brezzano showed some good things. Molly Guachena, you know, when she's on, but, you know, she's still prone to give up some home runs. I think it's really promising what you've seen from Alyssa Parker and just what she was able to do in Sunday's run rule win was big for them. So if she can continue to go along and you know, develop there, I think you really like that. So again, I'm not overly concerned about this team, but I think it is very promising that they responded the way that they did on Sunday after Saturday's loss.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, to win a national championship, you're probably going to need one or two of these pitchers to really get rolling. And you know, it's been a weird year because it feels like every name that you just threw out there has had moments where they've looked fantastic and other moments where it's been like, ooh, you know. And so the options are there, but can they get, like I said, one or two of them really rolling and pitching their best softball of the year in the postseason, especially in Oklahoma City? I mean, that's where it's going to really come down to. We know the offense is there. We know they have we talk about the clutch hitting, the ability to stay alive, but are they going to be able to keep these other heavyweight offenses down enough, you know, to win a national championship? You know, that's a fair question right now. And the more tests are coming, by the way. I mean, they got Arkansas Pine Bluff tomorrow at home. Then they play Georgia at home this weekend, final home series of the year, which they'll be at home in the postseason, obviously. But then they go to College Station, Texas A&M to finish. Georgia and A&M both in the top 15 right now. So two more big series. So we're going to learn more about this team, obviously, in the next couple of weeks. And if they can go win these next two series, you feel pretty good about them having at least a decent shot at the number one overall seed going into the tournament, which at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of it matters, but it's also kind of semantics. You just want to be in that top eight to make sure you get regionals at home. Obviously, Oklahoma knows they're going to have massive fan, you know, attendance in Oklahoma City when, you know, if and when they get there, as per usual. But yeah, good weekend, but still, you know, some fair questions, I think, for them right now moving forward and down to the home stretch here. Flipping over to baseball before we get out of here. This was just handling your business. Missouri, not very good. Worst team in the SEC. Oklahoma swept them. He needed to sweep them. They did sweep them. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when we did this show, when they were going into Nashville, going into Vanderbilt series, I talked about it then. They just lost that home series to Alabama. And, you know, you were kind of looking at it saying the goal has to be to get to a Nashville and to sweep Missouri. If you do that, you'll be 10-8 in SEC play going into the final four weekends. It's exactly what they did. They're 10-8 now. You have 12 SEC games left. They're all tough. You have two tough road series to come with Auburn this week, and then you got to go to Arkansas later. You have Florida and Tennessee at home. So these are all top 20 RPI teams, I'm pretty sure, going off memory. I mean, it's a really tough schedule the rest of the way, but you did what you needed to do to be in position to try and get to that host mark. And that's the goal, obviously. Oklahoma, they're going to make the tournament. That's not really an issue. It's can they get to that host spot? If the season were to end today, probably not. I would say they're just on the outside looking in, but they're close. They're in that conversation. At 10-8, I would think if you can split this, you might get it. If you can get 7 out of 5, you get to 17, I would bet you do. It's going to be real close, but if you can win these two home series and then get one of the two series, Auburn or Arkansas, I would think you'd be in very good shape to try and get to that host line. But good weekend for Oklahoma. It was great to get Cord Rager back. He missed the last two weekends. He pitched yesterday and was phenomenal Five innings. I think he had one hit allowed, no walks, eight Ks against Missouri, completely just dominated, which is great to see after he'd been out for a couple of weeks. Cam Johnson was good. LJ Mercurius was good. They just, you know, they handle their business. I mean, you play in Missouri. Missouri's the one team in the SEC that you kind of look at, especially at home, and you're like, we got to sweep this. We got to take advantage and sweep this. And they did. So credit to Oklahoma staying dialed in, not messing around, winning these three games. You're at 10-8 now in SEC play, like I said. Got to feel like you're in pretty good shape right now. And, you know, the bats are gotten going a little bit. They've been hitting for power more, which is really exciting. I had a lot of homers this weekend. We talked about it last week. They had, you know, some power hitting out in Nashville. They kept that going this week. You know, Camden Johnson, big home run yesterday. Brennan Brock homered. Just, you know, putting the ball over the fence, that's the quickest way to score. I mean, the small ball, bunting, moving guys over, stealing bags, that's Oklahoma. That's the way they play, and that's a very good way to play offense. But nothing gets a big number up quickly like the long ball, obviously. So, and they've been doing that lately. So that's exciting for Oklahoma. As the weather gets better and, you know, gets warmer, the ball flies a little better. You know, maybe you have a chance to this team to actually have some more pop than maybe we thought early in the year in terms of, you know, the power hitting, putting the ball over the fence. So a lot to be excited about with Oklahoma right now. They have Oral Roberts at home tomorrow. And like I said, they're at Auburn this weekend. Auburn ranked number 11 in the D1 Baseball Top 25. So another huge opportunity on the road to really boost that RPI. We'll see what they do here down the stretch. But 10-8 in the SEC. I mean, you're feeling like, you know, you're in position to get to that host line. You got to find a way to finish the season strong, but, you know, in good shape right now. A lot to be excited about with Oklahoma at the moment. So, good
stuff. Yeah, I was going to say, taking care of business against Missouri and getting that sweep, you know, putting you at 10-8 in the SEC. You're tied for the fourth best record in the SEC, but, you know, ostensibly you're seventh in the league. But you mentioned those next two series, like Auburn's right there, 10-8. Florida right there, 10-8. If you can find a way to take those two series, you're going to feel really good heading into that home stretch right now. But again, it's going to be tough. Those are not easy teams to go against.
No. Yeah. And to your point, I mean, if you finish in the top five or six of the SEC standings, you're likely going to host. I mean, it would be surprising if you didn't. So, you know, in position, it's all you can ask for. You're going into the later part of April here into May, you're in position. So we'll see what they do. Big weekend coming up out there in Auburn, or Roberts at home tomorrow. And then they come back home for, well, it's actually the final home series of the year against Florida, because the Tennessee series, remember, for everyone, is at the Brick in Oklahoma City, which is very weird. They've never done that before, but that's how the season ends. So the last series of the year at Kimry is next weekend against Florida, although they could be back at home technically with regionals, but obviously cross that bridge down the road. That's it for now. Be sure to keep up with us every single day. Obviously, work in the Hoops portal. Tons of baseball and softball coverage. Football doesn't go anywhere. Football is year-round around here, and obviously recruiting stuff picking up more and more. Colin's been all over that side of it, and we'll continue to update you, obviously, throughout the rest of the spring and then into the summer. But we'll be back, Colin and I, later this week. I'm guessing we're going to have a lot of recruiting stuff to get into. It was a big recruiting weekend for Oklahoma for the spring game, and so we'll dive into some of the stuff there. Tom and I will circle back next Monday, get more Hoops portal stuff, and obviously Diamond Sports, all that other good stuff. We'll see you guys then. For Tom Green, I'm Josh Callaway, signing off for now. We'll see you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.